This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Wix.com lets you easily create a beautiful professional website for free. With hundreds of stunning templates and an intuitive drag-and-drop website builder, you can get your business online today. No coding needed. Start now at Wix.com. That's Wix.com.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
The Pope visits D.C. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal. Along with Jennifer Koschenka, it's Thursday, September 24. Welcome aboard. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Pope Francis addresses thorny political issues during his first full day in the nation's capital. Today, he speaks to a joint meeting of Congress.
In Saudi Arabia, more than 300 people have been killed at the Hajj pilgrimage outside the holy city of Mecca.
The data breach at the Office of Personnel Management is much worse than first reported. It's not 1.1 million stolen fingerprints. The new figure, 5.6 million.
And how to handle helping your kid when he or she comes home with the dreaded science project.
Soon these assignments are going to start arriving home. The school science fair project, and for many parents, it's an annual nightmare. It's kind of like homework on steroids. It's like kids have to come up with an idea, complete a project, do experiments, write it up, get ready to present it. And many parents, even if the kids do the science part, find they're helping out an awful lot.
Homework on steroids. Wall Street Journal columnist Sue Schellenbarger on managing the science fair project. She's here in about 20 minutes. Pope Francis is challenging political and Catholic leaders in the U.S. on issues like climate change, immigration, same-sex marriage, and religious freedoms. Among his stops in Washington, D.C. yesterday, by the way, an unplanned visit to an order of nuns to support their demands for a conscience exemption to the contraception mandate in Obamacare. The Pope also gave credence to Republican arguments that some of President Obama's core policies infringe on Americans' religious freedoms, such as his support for the Supreme Court ruling in favor of gay marriage. It wasn't all politics, by the way. He gave mass outside the Basilica of the National Shrine. Here he is through a translator.
We must regain the conviction that we need one another, that we have a shared responsibility for others and for the world.
In addition, the Pope, who in a major encyclical threw his support behind the argument that human activity is contributing to climate change, has been unusually forthright in saying he hopes a meeting in Paris later this year will produce new solutions. By the end of the day, Pope Francis, by the way, had both defended and challenged the positions of Democratic and Republican politicians. Well, fresh off his meeting with President Obama yesterday, Pope Francis ventures to Capitol Hill today, where he speaks to a Congress led by Republicans who have opposed the president on issues important to the pontiff, including climate change and immigration. We get more from this morning's Mike Gavin.
Francis will be the first pope to address a joint meeting of the Senate and House of Representatives. He's expected to address climate change as well as the need to help migrants fleeing wars, international efforts to resolve conflicts, the U.S. role in helping poorer nations, religious freedom, and issues like abortion and euthanasia. Among those not attending, Arizona Congressman Paul Gosar, who says the Pope should be more focused on religious intolerance happening across the world, not climate change. He says the Earth's climate has been changing since God created it, with or without man. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. It's 10 minutes now after the hour. Well, to many people, Pope Francis has become a global celebrity for his common touch and tolerant embrace. As New York Times reporter Vivian Yee writes, he is a lodestar to both the spiritual and secular worlds. She joins us now on the T-Mobile hotline. Vivian, explain.
In every poll that's been conducted, his approval ratings have gone up among both Catholics and non-Catholics. Well, let me say that better. I'm not sure about the Catholic part, but among non-Catholics, certainly the more people learn about him, the more they approve of him. So I think in the latest poll we conducted, 45% of people see him as more of a leader and a humanitarian spokesman for all people rather than just a religious kind of head of church. And there are many people undecided, so I think as he kind of introduces himself to America, those poll numbers may rise in the coming weeks.
All right, so explain some of these specific examples, right? There was support from a Hindu you found, there was support from a Muslim you found.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised because it seemed like any religion I could name or any denomination I could name, I could find someone who found that he or thought that he agreed with their values and really stood for something that they believed in and were looking for leadership in. So, this Hindu woman I spoke to said she grew up in India and took religion classes and so has always been kind of interested in Catholicism, but she herself is a practicing Hindu, and she has always believed that her faith means to her that religion is all about, you know, and the church and organized religion should be about helping the poor and helping the disadvantaged. And in Pope Francis, she sees someone who really stands for that in a way that no other person she's seen in recent memory has done. This man I spoke to, who is a Muslim from the New York area, Mustafa, he is married to a practicing Catholic from Mexico, and he himself is a Muslim from Egypt, and they brought up their three children kind of in this multi-religious, multi-ethnic household. And so he was saying to me and to our reporters, you know, our Pope, this Pope who embraces kind of all kinds of people and speaks this message of tolerance and empathy, you know, he really moves me. And I think he's been sent here to unite all of us together, even though technically he's a Catholic. So,
wow.
It's been really interesting.
Yeah. We're speaking with Vivian Yee, New York Times reporter. Her piece is called Pope Francis's Popularity Bridges Great Divide. I thought it was an interesting line, too, and it sort of summarizes all that, I guess, is that your line where you say Francis is seen more as a leader and humanitarian spokesman for all people, not necessarily as a religious figure.
Yeah,
obviously,
exactly.
He is,
I have people comparing him to Martin Luther King Jr., to Gandhi, to the Dalai Lama, you know, other people who have been seen to kind of transcend their individual ethnicities or religions or whatever to kind of become a world figure. A moral leader, if you will.
Yeah. So as he explores or speaks about, for example, things like climate change, does he risk alienating some?
I think he does. We've done several stories exploring how among Catholics, especially conservative Catholics, they're kind of concerned that he's diluting the message of the church on family issues like abortion and gay marriage. He hasn't actually changed a word of doctrine relating to those issues, although he has projected a more kind of welcoming tone. And so I think people are worried that maybe he is preparing to change that doctrine, or maybe with his focus on issues like climate change or inequality, that he's going to be less strict on doctrinal issues and family values issues that are very important to many American Catholics.
Thanks, Vivian. New York Times reporter Vivian Yee. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. You always want to look great, but don't have the time or the patience to go shopping. With Trunk Club, you never have to set foot in the mall again. Trunk Club takes the hassle out of shopping by shipping you a trunk of clothes that fit perfectly and make you look like $1 million with all the new fall styles. At trunkclub.com/morning, all you have to do is answer simple questions about your style, preferences, and size, and then you are assigned an expert stylist. They curate clothes from the best premium brands, and you approve what you like. Just like that, a trunk arrives on your doorstep filled with hand-picked clothes that are perfect for you. Try them on, keep what you like, and easily return what you don't in their prepaid trunk. This is not a subscription service. You only pay for the clothes you keep. No hidden charges, just great clothes. And right now, their entire styling service is free. Even the shipping. You only pay for the clothes you keep. To take advantage, go to trunkclub.com/morning. One more time, that's trunkclub.com/morning for a trunk filled with clothes you'll love wearing. Thanks for spending time with us on this Thursday morning. Volkswagen CEO Martin Winterkorn is now the former chief executive of the German automaker. He stepped down yesterday as part of an effort to contain the widening scandal over manipulated emissions tests. The effort also includes a promise to prosecute those involved, although Volkswagen hasn't yet said that it knows who was responsible or how many employees were involved. It's been a nightmarish few days for Volkswagen after the company revealed on Friday that it used software on some VW and Audi diesel-powered cars to cheat emissions results. The crisis, by the way, threatens to spill beyond the automaker to the broader German economy. Volkswagen employs some 300,000 people across 29 plants. VW disclosed that as many as 11 million cars contain software alleged to have duped emissions tests and were possibly subject to a global recall. The company issued a profit warning earlier this week and disclosed a $7 billion charge to earnings to cover the costs of addressing that matter. It's 20 minutes now after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, the death toll from a crush of pilgrims during the annual Muslim Hajj in Saudi Arabia has risen above 300 people of various nationalities. Saudi authorities say civil defense teams are trying to deal with the disaster caused by large numbers of people pushing at Mina outside the Muslim holy city of Mecca. Another 450 pilgrims were wounded. Fresh from enrapturing crowds all over Washington, Pope Francis is bringing his message of humility and hope to Capitol Hill as he becomes the first pontiff in history to speak to a joint meeting of Congress. Senator Chuck Schumer of New York says it's time for lawmakers to pause from the bickering that normally divides them.
I think they'll be cheering, but I hope we won't get this stupid divisiveness up, down, up, down, up, down, you know, which happens with a president. I think we have to be respectful.
Tens of thousands of spectators will be watching from the West Lawn of the Capitol as the Pope addresses a House chamber packed with Supreme Court justices, cabinet officials, diplomats, and lawmakers. The number of people applying for or receiving security clearances whose fingerprint images were stolen in one of the worst government data breaches is now believed to be 5.6 million, not 1.1 million. His first thought. The Office of Personnel Management was the victim of what the U.S. believes was a Chinese espionage operation that affected an estimated 21.5 million current or former federal employees or job applicants. New developments in that story about the Texas high school football players who hit a referee during a game earlier this month. The school's principal says assistant coach Mac Breed admitted to ordering the players to hit the ref because he had used racial slurs and missed calls. The referee has denied using any slurs. The players were suspended from school and removed from the team. And the Batmobile is a car that has almost everything, weapons ahead of its time, computers, and wing-shaped tail fins. Today, it's received another upgrade, copyright protection. DC Comics, the copyright owner of Batman Comics, has emerged as the winner in a lawsuit against a man who makes replicas of the Batmobile.
How about that? There you go. The Batmobile makes news. It's 22 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Good Thursday morning. With students getting back into the school groove here in late September, it might not be long before that one assignment comes home that strikes fear and angst among parents. The science project that's due in a month. Instead of trashing the teacher in the school, how can you help your kid just enough without doing everything? Here's Wall Street Journal columnist Sue Schellenbarger. Sue, set it up.
Soon these assignments are going to start arriving home. The school science fair project, and for many parents, it's such an annual nightmare. It's kind of like homework on steroids. It's like kids have to come up with an idea, complete a project, do experiments, write it up, get ready to present it. And many parents, even if the kids do the science part, find they're helping out an awful lot.
Oh, that is true. Guilty right here. Guilty.
Yeah, same here.
it's funny because I think the science fair at my daughter's middle school, you just have to submit something. It's not necessarily for grade, but you have to submit something. So,
right. That's often the case, and it's happening at younger grades. Many schools are starting to open them up to kindergartners or pre-kindergartners to come in with a little question or project. So, yeah, not always a full-blown experiment, but some kind of a little item they offer.
Yeah, I can remember saying, she finished, and then it was more like with my wife, well, we finished, technically, we finished, right? Specify.
Exactly, right.
So, what do you do? Because, kids are busier than ever, right, than when you and I were in school, for example. They got a million things to do in the afternoon, and sometimes you're relieved. You're like, great, we got 3 weeks' notice. But 20 days later, we realized we haven't put it together.
We haven't started yet. That's the problem. It's really, some parents I spoke to actually set aside weekend time just so a child could concentrate and pull together, the data or whatever they're working on. And one of the biggest things parents have to do is to keep the kid on track and set milestones so we'll get this part done by this time and so on. And otherwise, kids really very seldom have the time management skills at these ages to do that.
Yeah. All right. So what do you do? Because you can't really you don't want to badmouth the teacher or the school, right? And say like, oh, you got to be kidding. It's going to ruin our family time or soccer game or something like that. What do you do?
Say, I hate science.
Yes,
why do
right.
we? Right. Not the right response. The whole point of this exercise, teachers and experts told me, is to kindle kids' interest in science. We all know that the world is, you know, it's more important every day to know science and engineering. So even if a parent hates science, try to kind of spark your own curiosity or your child's curiosity. The best place to start is if you notice your child being curious about something around them, you know, apple juice, calories, and start from there. Try to enjoy it as an exploration with your child and put aside any feelings you might have about it.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal columnist Sue Schellenbarger. She's got a piece entitled How to Survive the School Science Fair. All right, so we have to do a little revisiting of history here. The best one, or the one that stands out in your mind that you helped your kids with?
Oh, this is a good one. I think I could give you the worst one.
Do it. Yeah, the worst
one. The volcano, the bubbly volcano with vinegar and baking soda is not even a science project. You know, the teacher said, you know, that's really a demonstration.
Right.
You know, you're not really experimenting with anything there. One of my favorites from my reporting was where a girl was inspired by the family dog who kept rolling in smelly things to do a project on how to remove skunk odor.
Mm.
And she actually came up with a successful formula for removing skunk odor, which all her neighbors were taking notes on the night of the science fair. So you can really have some fun with this.
Wow. Anybody describe absolute disasters?
I read in studies about where parents were really afraid the kid was working on an electrical circuitry project, that they were going to, you know, burn the house down. Parents really have to watch safety if your child's working with anything involving electricity or heat.
Thanks, Sue. Wall Street Journal columnist Sue Schellenbarger. She writes the Work and Family column. It's 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. You're results-driven and you're ambitious. You've established yourself professionally and now you're looking for more. Take the next step in your entrepreneurial journey with Edible Arrangements, the brand that revolutionized gifting with handcrafted fruit arrangements and gourmet chocolate-covered fruit, now also offers delicious everyday treats like smoothies, fruit salads, and parfaits. As an Edible Arrangements franchisee, you get access to an established brand with 16 years of growth, over 80% brand recognition, and 1,200 locations worldwide. You'll benefit from know-how, support, and millions of visitors to the Edible Arrangements e-commerce platform. Discover why Entrepreneur Magazine named Edible Arrangements a top franchise and among their best of the best for 2015. Start your journey to sweet success as an Edible Arrangements franchise owner. Call 1-888-727-4258 or go to edible.com. That's 1-888-727-4258 or edible.com.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us on this Thursday, September 24th. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines today. The Pope speaks to Congress later this morning. A familiar scene, unfortunately. More than 300 dead following a stampede at the Hajj pilgrimage in Saudi Arabia. The hacking at the Office of Personnel Management is now far worse than first reported. Video game competitions coming to primetime TV. Today, by the way, on your calendar is the 10-year anniversary of Hurricane Rita. And the soaring price of Pope memorabilia. That story in about 20 minutes. Well, as the presidential field slowly narrows, it's getting easier to look at the ways the rich supporters of various candidates are blurring the lines between the official activity of a campaign and the activity of a super PAC or political action committee. Those super PACs can take unlimited sums of money from practically any source. More from Frederica Scouten, campaigns reporter at USA Today. Frederica, a lot of gray area here.
It is a bit of a gray area. The definition is so very narrow. It really applies to not coordinating on spending. And that's sort of the limit of it. And again, people are really pushing it. One example that I use is an ad, or an online video that came out from something called Carly for America. And it was a really powerful video, went viral. Donald Trump had criticized Carly Fiorina's looks. The video came out, and it showed her face and that of other Republican women. That was from the super PAC, Carly for America, not her campaign, Carly for President. Although it used her image, it used her words, it opened up with, "This is a message from Carly."
So does a super PAC need permission from, say, the Fiorina campaign to run an ad, or not even?
No, they don't, because they're supposed to be independent. Now,
wow.
Keep in mind, the folks running the super PAC are big supporters of hers. And one of the things that we noticed when we looked at the records is that there were six people who now work for the campaign who had worked for the super PAC before shifting over to the campaign.
So who else, I guess, is involved, or what other super PACs are involved with which candidates right now?
Well, basically every presidential contender, but Bernie Sanders, I think, has some sort of super PAC that is working to support their campaign. There are two super PACs supporting Hillary Clinton's campaign. One called Priorities USA Action is focused on raising big dollars to run ads on her behalf. And Secretary Clinton's campaign chairman, John Podesta, has appeared at fundraisers for that super PAC. Jeb Bush, of course, has a super PAC called Right to Rise that has been enormously successful in fundraising. It raised more than $100 million during the first 6 months of the year.
Wow.
And in fact, Jeb Bush openly raised money for the super PAC because he did not become a candidate officially until June. And a candidate cannot ask a super PAC for a big check, but because he wasn't a candidate, his staffers maintain, he could do so.
We're speaking with Frederica Scouten, campaigns reporter at USA Today, and she's got a piece called Presidential Super PACs Push Campaign Limits. Somebody like Donald Trump have a PAC, a super PAC?
There are a couple of super PACs that have cropped up claiming to be connected to him. You know, there have been some reports that he may have appeared at a super PAC event, but we won't know any details really on how much these pseudo-Trump super PACs are raising until next month when reports are due.
All right, so are there observers of this who say the gray area has become too big and we need to tweak these laws?
The campaign finance watchdogs are beside themselves. The issue, of course, is that the Federal Election Commission is often deadlocked 3-3 on any important matter. So there is no sense that there's going to be any clarity on these rules before we elect the next president.
All right. So in the meantime, just to clarify, I think a point you were making before, a super PAC can't walk in and say, hey, Governor Walker, I see that you're struggling to raise money. Here's a loan from us.
No, they absolutely cannot donate to a candidate directly because they're accepting 6- and 7-figure checks.
Yeah.
That candidate is not supposed to accept anything more than $2,700 from an individual or $5,000 from a PAC. So it sort of violates everything about our campaign finance laws.
Thanks, Frederica. Frederica Scouten, campaigns reporter at USA Today. 21 minutes now before the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Do you want to learn how to earn commissions of up to 20% by laundering millions of foreign dollars?
Well, we can't help you with that. But among the many IT problems we solve, Barracuda's email security solutions keep email phishing attacks like this from entering your business network and any valuable data from leaking out. Reclaim your network like 150,000 other businesses have. To learn more about stopping email-borne threats, visit barracuda.com/email.
Thanks for being with us. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, before Pope Francis leaves D.C. on his way to New York and then Philadelphia, one group of frustrated commuters would like some help from His Holiness before he leaves town. Washington resident Noah Rosenheck has started a petition to try and get the Pope to bless the D.C. metro system, saying that he's willing to try anything to get the problem-plagued subway system to work properly. The petition on change.org includes a letter that reads, "Dear Pope Francis, our metro system is having some troubles. All of D.C. would be grateful if you could find the time to bless it during your upcoming stay. Maybe a papal blessing is just what it needs." Rosenheck isn't alone in his desire to appeal to a higher power to reduce his nightmare commutes. The petition currently has over 2,300 signatures.
Wow.
But if he's going to do it, they got to do it quick because he's heading out of town today.
Right. And I get the sense that some folks in the D.C. area got a taste of what it might be like had it received a papal blessing, because I was talking to a reporter based in Washington
okay.
yesterday, and I said, "How are things?" He said, "It's like a ghost town. I hopped the metro to work today, and there's nobody on it."
Oh, because everybody's staying away,
everybody's
basically.
Just avoiding the greater D.C.
Right.
area. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Oh, my God. But I think in the meantime, though, they are doing something else. They are giving you sleeves, I guess, for your card, for your D.C. metro card that you use to slide through to get through.
Okay.
They're giving you these with the Pope's picture on them, I believe. So there's something. I don't know if that counts as a blessing necessarily, or if that's going to have any effect. But if they don't get a blessing, maybe they'll at least get a nice souvenir.
Oh, are you actually swiping the Pope? I mean, is that what's happening on these cards?
You know what? I think it's a sleeve. I don't think it's the card itself, because I think swiping the Pope would probably be not a good
idea.
Something
wrong with that.
Yeah. I think you get in trouble for something like that. And Gordon, if your NFL team is 0-2 to start the season, yours is not, but mine is, and you're starting to panic because you've heard over the years how impossible it is to make the playoffs after going winless in your first two games, I come bearing some good news, at least for fans of teams that usually win but are having a tough time so far this year. The Wall Street Journal says the statistic that says that 89% of teams that start 0-2 don't play into January is actually watered down by teams that never had a good chance of making the playoffs to begin with. And my Giants, who start every season 0-2 now, apparently. So if you take the dregs of the league out of the equation, and if you're a fan of a team that won at least 11 games last year, like the Seattle Seahawks, Indianapolis Colts, or Detroit Lions, there is a better than 25% chance that your team can bounce back from their bad start, which isn't great, but at least it means there is some hope.
Okay, Mike, knock, knock.
Who's there?
Owen.
Owen who?
0-2. Oh, that's your team. No, that's bad. Well, it's kind of my team, too, so it's not good. By the way, we're trying to generate more fan involvement at Giants games.
Yes.
So tonight, if you're watching on TV, the Giants and Redskins game, you might hear me in the background hollering when it's third down for the Redskins.
Oh. Okay.
So I'm like, third down! You know, trying to get the crowd more jacked up.
They normally play some kind of music. The music, I guess, is not enough to get the crowd pumped up.
There'll be a little bit.
Okay.
There'll be a little bit. But then I come in.
You're going to jump in there. And
try to get 80,000 jacked up about third down. You know,
well, the way the Giants defense is playing, there won't be a lot of third downs, probably. So you'll get to save your voice.
Nice. 14 minutes in front of the hour. Time now for a technology update, and it's brought to you by Staples. Staples has more for less on everything your business needs to make more happen every day, plus free shipping and up to 5% back when you sign up for Staples Rewards. Staples make more happen. You'll soon have another option on TV when your work week is done. Turner Broadcasting System is creating a league for video game players and fans. The league will launch next year and give fast-growing esports a permanent primetime television home. The Wall Street Journal says the league will feature live Friday night telecasts of video game competitions on TBS for 20 weeks a year. It's not unusual for fans to fill an arena to watch esport events. Last month, 11,000 people packed Madison Square Garden for a regional championship for the video game League of Legends. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
According to the number of casualties from a stampede at the annual Hajj pilgrimage in Saudi Arabia is climbing. At least 310 people are dead and 450 have been injured. Some 2 million people are taking part in the Hajj this year. The stampede is the deadliest disaster there since 2006. European Union leaders meeting in Brussels have agreed to beef up controls at the 28-nation bloc's outer borders to stem the influx of migrants. They also agreed to give an extra $1.1 billion to the UN Refugee Agency and World Food Program to help them offer food and shelter to people fleeing conflicts. EU President Donald Tusk said countries such as Greece and Italy need the EU's help.
It is clear that the greatest tide of refugees and migrants is yet to come. Therefore, we need to correct the policy of open doors and windows.
Tusk says without regaining control of external borders, Europe has no chance to cope with the problem effectively. Prosecutors have announced formal charges against a 21-year-old man suspected in some of the freeway shootings that have rattled the Phoenix area. Leslie Merritt Jr. was charged with 16 counts, including aggravated assault, unlawful discharge of a weapon, disorderly conduct, endangerment, and carrying out a drive-by shooting. Scientists digging at rock in a shelter in Brazil have discovered evidence of human decapitation that dates back to over 9,000 years, making it the oldest case ever seen in the New World. But the story of the headless remains with hands cut off and resting on the face doesn't appear to be tied to a grisly murder, but to a mysterious burial practice. And Pharrell Williams' Happy isn't the ultimate feel-good song, at least according to the Brits. Songs cited by a survey of 2,000 adults in the UK include ABBA's Dancing Queen and the Beach Boys' Good Vibrations, while their number one selection was Queen's 1979 hit Don't Stop Me Now, which only hit number 86 in the U.S. And by the way, scientists say there are several components shared by all feel-good songs, including being written in a major key and a fast tempo.
Don't Stop Me Now?
Yeah.
Only hit number 86. I'm not even sure I could sing that one.
It was a top 10 hit there, but only 86 here.
Thought I knew Queen pretty well. Maybe if I heard it, I'd know it. All right. Thank you, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
You do whatever it takes to make sure your business runs efficiently, but constant trips to the post office can get in the way. With Stamps.com, you'll be able to spend less time at the post office and more time growing your business. Stamps.com makes mailing and shipping easy. Use your own computer and printer to buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter, any package. Stamps.com does all the thinking for you. The digital scale will calculate the exact postage needed and help you decide the best class of mail based on your needs. Join over 500,000 small businesses that use Stamps.com and never go to the post office again. Right now, use my last name, Deal, for this special offer. A 4-week trial plus a $110 bonus offer that includes a digital scale and up to $55 free postage. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Deal. That's Stamps.com. Enter Deal.
Thanks for being with us. So forget about baseball jerseys worn by Babe Ruth or photos signed by James Dean. The hottest item on the collectibles market these days may be a Pope Francis autograph, or better yet, a Pope Francis worn skull cap. Market Watch says collectors and sellers of religious memorabilia are talking about the booming market for all things Francis, saying the Pope is commanding attention from autograph and artifact seekers in a fashion more traditionally associated with athletes and movie stars. Bob Jones, a top dealer in papal collectibles based in Overland Park, Kansas, says he's sold 2 signed Francis photos for around $1,800 each. Earlier this year, a skull cap worn by the pontiff went for $113,000 on eBay, according to the website Just Collecting. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning. You always want to look great, but don't have the time or the patience to go shopping. With Trunk Club, you never have to set foot in the mall again. Trunk Club takes the hassle out of shopping by shipping you a trunk of clothes that fit perfectly and make you look like $1 million with all the new fall styles. At trunkclub.com/morning, all you have to do is answer simple questions about your style, preferences, and size, and then you are assigned an expert stylist. They curate clothes from the best premium brands, and you approve what you like. Just like that, a trunk arrives on your doorstep filled with hand-picked clothes that are perfect for you. Try them on, keep what you like, and easily return what you don't in their prepaid trunk. This is not a subscription service. You only pay for the clothes you keep. No hidden charges, just great clothes. And right now, their entire styling service is free. Even the shipping. You only pay for the clothes you keep. To take advantage, go to trunkclub.com/morning. One more time, that's trunkclub.com/morning for a trunk filled with clothes you'll love wearing.